Hey, Christine, it's so good to have you back on the podcast. And I love this new series that we're in with the Growth Collective podcast. We're really doing a deep dive on our character and our formation as human beings.
Yeah.
And you had not too long ago preached a really powerful sermon. And you spoke about how we as people can change the atmosphere. And it triggered this quote that is a super corny quote, but I think it's a powerful kind of quote. And it says, don't be a thermometer, be a thermostat. Mm-hmm. And although I think that's super corny, I think it's really powerful.
Yeah.
And it speaks to what you shared about how when we enter a room, we literally can be a part of changing the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just talk a little bit about that and how you've experienced that in your own life and maybe examples of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think changing like the thermostat, the temperature of the room is really a powerful key of the truth that we hold as believers.
Mm.
And I have a word for the year. Sometimes God gives me a word, and a lot of people do that. And I remember, I think it was 2015, my word was perspective. And it was just this, the Spirit was just showing me, you know, if you have a shift in your perspective, then the entirety of life coming at you is going to look differently. And then the next year was truth, and how if we set our minds on truth, like that's what sets us free, right?
Mm.
And so I think that when it looks like changing the temperature of the room, you're shifting your perspective off of what's happening in the room to the one who's in the room, right?
Mm, that's
and
good.
You're shifting your ideas or the thoughts that are coming into your mind from maybe lies or whatever it is that's not edifying or good or right, and you're shifting it to truth.
Yeah.
And so it's not that the thoughts don't come, it's not that bad things don't happen, it's that there's a shift.
Yeah.
And as you shift, the atmosphere shifts, the temperature shifts,
yeah.
Like the Spirit of the living God is present.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it's been really cool because God's just kind of slowly unveiled truths throughout my life. And it's kind of in slow little increments. I always say I'm like a slow learner. I feel like sometimes I'm just like, how have I not learned this yet? But he continues to just like give me little peeks into his like character and who he is. And so, yeah, I love that we don't have to be the ones that take on whatever's happening around us. We actually get to be the ones that shift what's happening around us. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that we realize how powerful our presence can be.
Mm-hmm.
And when we show up to a room, it is almost as if, I mean, we've all experienced, right? When someone comes into the room and they're having a bad day, you can almost feel that energy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I was at a conference one time and they talked about organizational dysfunction and how when you have somebody who's toxic on your team, it's like a disease.
Mm.
And they said that it will be caught by other people.
Mm.
And one of the other things that they had failed to mention is that nobody thinks that health is contagious. We all know that disease and sickness is contagious.
Mm.
But I think just like disease and sickness is contagious, so is health. And when we show up to a space,
yeah.
And we have a healthy perspective.
Mm.
And that's contagious.
Wow.
Right?
I've never thought of it that way. Well, it reminds me of like how the light comes into darkness and there's no more darkness. Like the light gets the darkness out. And so it's kind of like that whole health taking over the sickness.
Right.
But it's true. I've never thought of it that way. And just yesterday, I was sometimes finances for me is a struggle, right?
Mm.
Like I get in whatever mindset because of finances. And so yesterday I was feeling a little stressed about finances and mad, and I started to like get into a downward spiral.
Yeah.
And so I like said goodbye to my 8-year-old daughter and I gave her a big squeeze. And the squeeze, she was like, why are you so mad?
Mm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, my 8-year-old can read me. Like
yeah.
This room that I'm in, that I'm shifting in a bad way, right? Like I'm allowing finances to dictate my mood and my heart and my
yes.
spirit. And she can't, she never can get away from like, she knows when I'm lying. She knows, she knows when my energy's off. And I was like, well, I'm just loving you. Can I give you a squeeze?
Yeah.
But she knew, like she knew I was just mad.
Yeah.
Not at her, but just at whatever, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting.
You bring up this powerful thought that I actually want to move towards, because you talked about how the financial aspect of your life was overwhelming you. And you said that it led you into a downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to kind of move into discussing is something that you brought up in your sermon that I thought was so powerful, and I think it speaks to our character and our formation as human beings. I want to talk about, I think this is one of the biggest problems that we just as a nation are facing right now, but individually, if we could get this right, I think that our nation would be so much healthier, our families would be so much healthier, our relationships. Mm. But I think a victim mindset and a victim mentality mm-hmm. is one of the most destructive forces mm-hmm. in our lives. Yeah. And we all have seasons where we, I think, are a victim and can feel like a victim. But what I want to talk with you about is, you just literally just discussed it right now, but how do we recognize that victim mindset and mentality in ourselves? Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, what is a victim, you know? Like, I want to unpack that. Maybe we start there. Mm-hmm. And then how can we recognize that mindset or that mentality when we have it?
Yeah, well, I love how we're calling it like a victim mentality, because I think we're a victim to our own minds. That's where it starts. And so it's a thought. And when we think through something, it just, like I said, it just kind of leads to this downward spiral. So yeah. We go from one to another. You know, it's when you get in a simple fight over like the toothpaste that's not out the right way with your spouse or something.
Right.
It's like we don't even know why we're fighting anymore, because it goes from one like, oh, they never do this right. And then, oh, he didn't do this right. Oh, and he didn't do this right. So it starts to become like, well, what were we originally fighting about?
Right.
And it's just like this downward spiral of like all the negativity. And so I think it starts in your mind. And
yeah.
The beauty is that as humans, we're not even, it says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are as humans. And so it's not the temptations or the thoughts that are wrong or bad or that we're like all of a sudden, it's what we do with those thoughts. And so I think that is where we can get the victim out, is like from our thoughts. And
yeah.
it's replacing it with truth, and it's as fast as possible. And
yeah.
I said in my sermon, like sometimes that takes me days, weeks, it depends on the season, but like it's how can we get back on truth? Like whatever that is for you or for me, right?
Yeah.
For some, it might be a worship song that's like speaking to you right now, or it's like a sermon, or it's like scripture that you just play on repeat, like the audio
yeah.
scripture, or it could be, you know, a movie or a preacher, whatever. Like
yeah.
I think it's getting your mind back on truth. And so getting out of that victim. I think for me, when I think of victim, I think of myself as like, I have pity parties, like,
yes.
woe is me, my
yep.
life is this. And then I find all the ways that my life are all these negative things, right? And so these pity parties just start to become all consuming and I can't see the light. And so I think that what helps pull me out, again, it's truth. Like, what speaks to me the most? Is it, like, for me, sometimes a Dan Moeller sermon or Stephen Furtick or here at the Grove, like, listening to something
yeah.
that's really spoken to me in the past, or finding something that's going to speak to that specific issue that I'm,
right.
like, in? Like, okay, it's money. Like, how does money
mm-hmm.
not dictate my future,
yes.
right? And so it's finding sermons maybe on money or Bible verses. Like, you can look up all the passages on money.
Yeah.
And you can, like, speak truth over yourself. And I think that's the shift. It's not if we have thoughts, we're horrible Christians.
Right.
No. It's like once we have those thoughts, it's like how can we get the victim out of our thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was so rich. You unpacked that so well. And first and foremost, what I was reading to you, I was reading when I was looking up stuff on the victim mentality and mindset. In an actual victim, there are real victims
yeah.
in this world. There are. An actual victim is someone who has zero control
mm-hmm.
over their circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that, that makes sense, right? It's like, yeah, absolutely, that's a victim. Somebody that has zero control over their circumstances.
Yeah.
We have seasons as people
mm-hmm.
where we do feel genuinely like a victim. And your example was your finances.
Mm.
In that situation, like you said, we all have thoughts. It starts in our mind. And you're right, that's a powerful truth. And I wonder what were some of the things that you were telling yourself initially when you were overwhelmed by your finances.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm in those moments where I feel like a victim, it's very defeating
mm-hmm.
thoughts that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I, even for me with finances, right? Like everybody struggles with finances and seasons. I'm like,
yeah.
oh my gosh, if only they paid me more, if only this, if only that. And I'm putting the blame on so many other people, and I want to feel helpless in my situation because
yeah.
it feels good to be the victim, for me at least.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that overwhelming aspect of feeling like a victim leads to this downward spiral, like you talked about. Mm. And then when I start to have these negative thoughts that are lies, I believe I have zero control over my circumstances.
Yeah.
And then I go out into the world and I treat people poorly because of that mentality and that mindset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you said it, we have to replace that narrative or the thoughts with truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what I believe truth is. I think truth is reality. And so when we're in those seasons where we're overwhelmed about our finances, we're overwhelmed about our relationships, or we're overwhelmed about the toothpaste, I think that the enemy wants us to see the lies and to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need is perspective. Like you said, you literally said that, perspective changes you and the way you show up to a room. And instead of seeing and believing the lies, we need to see and believe reality, which is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is what brings us freedom, right?
Yeah. What do you, so when you're saying reality, tell me more about what you mean by that.
Yeah. So I was reading a book called Live No Lies by John Mark Comer.
Yeah.
And he talks about how truth is reality.
Okay.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I love that because in we're taking, I love your example of finances. Let's just use that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're overwhelmed, and I'll speak for myself too. So I'm telling myself what I call lies.
Mm.
If they just paid me more, if this happened, if that happened.
Yeah.
Those are all lies that I want to believe about my situation.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is I can do a better job of saving. Reality is there's all kinds of ways for me to make more money if that's really what I need to do. That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm stuck in this prison of my own making because of my victim mentality.
Okay.
Do you get them? You see that?
Yeah. So it's like reality is the only truth. Like I have some people say certain quotes that maybe their character isn't like admirable or whatever, but if they say something that's true, right? Like all truth is God's truth, right? So like even like false gods, there's no such thing as another God. There's only one God.
Right.
So it's like when somebody says, oh, you know, this God, I'm like, well, there's only one God, so there is no other God. But yeah, it's like truth is the only real thing.
That's
so I
right.
hear what you're saying now.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you meant.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just the truth is reality. That's what John Mark Comer said. And for me, I think that we get so caught up in lies that aren't reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if we can, and it's another word for saying truth isn't perspective, right? And I'm definitely not trying to go super philosophical right now. Perspective is how we see something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think what needs to change is our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So how we see something,
yeah.
when I have those overwhelming thoughts that lead to my victim mentality,
yeah.
my perspective is I'm a victim. This is somebody else's fault. There's nothing
yes.
I can do to change this.
Yes.
But if you have a perspective shift,
mm-hmm.
you see reality.
Yeah, and I love how you like shifted off of what other people are doing and onto you.
Yes.
Because that's where the key to freedom comes
so
from. Because
so
we can just... If it's on us, first of all, we're empowered. We're no longer a victim. We feel like we can do something. And then the truth of the matter is we can never change anyone else anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you preach this and you live this. You said before, you said other people's wrong motives don't dictate my destiny.
Mm-hmm.
You said that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is taking the perspective off of somebody else, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like they might have wrong motives.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to fixate on their motives.
Yeah.
Because I know at the end of the day, their wrong motives don't dictate my destiny.
Yeah.
So that's the same concept right there, you know?
Yeah.
You also said, what can mere mortals do to me? You said that before too.
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing that God can orchestrate and does work all things together for good.
Yeah.
And that's a perspective change.
Yeah.
It is.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when I need a perspective shift, I look at eternity because it's so easy to get involved in the here and now and how things aren't going the way I want right now. But when I'm able to actually like envision myself in heaven someday and like looking face to face with Jesus, like it shifts my perspective. It puts me back at truth. And I'm like, this is the day I'm living for. And then all of eternity gets to be the day that I get to worship Jesus. And so I think like, what am I doing to honor the Father? What am I doing to give glory to Jesus? Because at the end of the day, my circumstances and the things that are really hard and I'm taking personal and I'm getting offended, those things don't matter anymore, right? And so it's like, how can I keep that day in mind? Because it's short, like this time is short. And as soon as I'm able to be like, I could be there tomorrow, like everything changes. Like, what does it look like for me to live for today when tomorrow might be the day I meet Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. It's it's hard to do, but.
Yeah. So we've been talking about it. We've been talking about what it looks like when we are in that mindset of a victim. I guess, what are some tangible ways that we can actually recognize that and know that we're, a lot of times people say, well, I'm in a funk, right?
Yeah.
How can we recognize when we are operating as a victim and when we have that kind of victim mentality?
Yeah. As soon as we feel like a red flag, as soon as our thoughts are off of truth, anything that is pure, lovely, good report, anything that is praiseworthy, anything that is of the fruit of the Spirit, like you'll see it, you'll recognize it, and you just shift back. Like sometimes you just got to mull over it and cry and out, and all those things are okay. And then you have to shift back. And so I think that's the key, is really being able to recognize the red flag, because it's going to come up and you're going to sense it. And then you get back on truth. Yeah. Right. So it's, but it's easier to go down those trails of negative spirals. Like it is easier.
Why do you think that is? I have a theory, but.
What's your theory?
There you go. My theory is that it's easier to blame and deflect rather than take ownership and do some work.
Oh, yeah.
That's my theory.
That's true. Yeah, victim mentality. Definitely it's easier.
It's easier.
Yeah. I think because we're born, I agree with that. We're born into Adam, so we're born into this sinful, fleshly, like, desires. And so being born again is literally like you're taking on the identity of Christ. Like you're no longer a victim, and you're also able to do all that Christ's asking of you, because he's God. Like if we put Jesus on this high pedestal, we're never going to be able to attain what he's attained. But when we're able to see him as fully human like he was, we can actually realize that we can become like him. Like he's not just saying become like me. It's never possible, but just do it, right? No, he's saying become like me because it is possible. Yeah. And I think that's where the power comes from. When we know, like, I actually can live in love in this circumstance. Yeah. Like, I actually can be self-controlled when I'm tempted to do this or this or this. Like, it's actually knowing that we have the opportunity and the ability to be the fruits of the Spirit.
Right. I was talking to a friend who was telling me that Christian love kind of feels like fake love. Mm. And I said, what if that's just evidence of the Holy Spirit alive? Mm. You know? Because even in my life, I had a family that took my brother and I in as their own. Mm. And I'm like, they love Jesus. That's why they did what they did, right?
Yeah.
It is. It truly is. They were, for me, the hands and feet of the love of Jesus is crazy.
Yeah.
So that is evidence that God is real and that the Holy Spirit, and like you said, Jesus is the goal. And the Holy Spirit is kind of like our means to get there. Mm-hmm. And we have that fellowship and that relationship throughout the whole process. Mm-hmm. And it's not us pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, right? It's more of a surrender and a sacrifice and allowing God to move in us and through us.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I've been called fake a lot of my life.
Really?
Yeah, so it's...
So have I.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's been a really big challenge for me, because I genuinely do feel joy, and I genuinely do love people. And so it's hard, because I think my daughter asked me on the way to church one day recently. She was like, well, how do we know that Christianity is the real way? Like, there's so many other gods, like, how do we know? And I was like, well, you know, besides the fact that science and history and all of it, like, 100% back the Bible, but also, like, I think the most powerful thing is the evidence of, like, your experience with God. Like, the living God actually will speak to you, move in you, the Spirit, like, the fire of the Spirit will move through you. And so I think when people are able to experience the true love of God, it's not going to feel fake anymore. And sometimes that when you've been hurt so many times and you've not experienced the love of the Father, it's really hard to see that as real.
Yeah.
And it does feel fake because you've never experienced it. But we can't limit what truth is by our experiences.
Totally.
Like, we can't limit God to what our experience is.
Yeah.
So that's hard for people to do, even myself. So,
Yeah, that's so powerful. There's some kind of, like, things that I'll say, and this is how I recognize when I might be in a season where I'm feeling a little bit like a victim. I'll say, well, things like, well, there's not anything I can do about it. Mm. Or this is just the way it is, right? I have these kind of taglines that I'll say. And I feel like that's how I recognize that victim mentality, you know? Like where you feel kind of helpless and helpless.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And you touched on this, and this is kind of where I want to leave everybody who's listening with us. after we recognize, all of us have this, these seasons, these moments, right? These days where we do feel like a victim. Mm-hmm. After we recognize it, the best way to get rid of it and to move on from it is to truly believe our new identity that we have in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And this is what I believe that it does. We kind of were a victim, you know? We were helpless, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was nothing we could do. Yeah. And then after the gospel and after Jesus moves in your life, we now operate from a place of victory. It's not victim, right?
Yeah.
And so, like you said, when we replace the lies with the truth that we already know about who we are in Christ, mm-hmm. that gives us the freedom to live a life of victory.
I love it. And everything actually hinges on belief, even like our salvation. It's only believing. Like there's nothing we could do except believe that Jesus died, he rose again, and that he loves us.
Yeah.
And that's actually how our eternal like lives are placed, right? So believing who you are, believing what he's done and what we've come out of as victims, you're right. Like we were victims, but now we're victors. And only because of Jesus.
That's
like
right.
There's nothing that we could do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key is belief. Like everything hinges on believing.
Yeah.
So if you believe, like, hey, Jesus, I thank you that I'm full of joy, even when you're like in the midst of a trial that you don't want to be happy about. Like you believe it and then it's accomplished.
Yeah.
Like you have to believe it before it can happen.
Right.
That's
right.
What faith is.
Yeah.
It's like you have to step out and then it happens. Like you can't just wait in the like, well, that's doubt. Right. And so it's just like, okay, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm going to step, like I'm going to tithe even though my money, like there's no money in the bank. Like I know I'm going to be negative on paper, right? Every month or whatever. It's just like taking the step even when on paper it doesn't look like it's going to work.
Yeah. And I feel like you said it too, whenever you find yourself in a season where you're feeling overwhelmed and you are feeling like a victim, I think there's two things that we need to do. We need to remember who we are now, that new identity that we have, but then we also need to remember that we're going from victory to victory, really, mm-hmm. to eternity, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that changes then everything about our life in between.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when Christ says it's life and life to the full, it has nothing to do with circumstance. And it just is like this most powerful thing as you continue to yield and become closer and know the Father, right? Like the more we know Jesus and the more we walk with him, that's when circumstance doesn't even shift our perspective anymore.
Right.
We didn't wake up to be a praised by others or, you know, we're no longer offended by what people do or don't do, right? And we just shift when that offense starts to creep in. It's like, I'm not living for you.
Yeah.
You know, like this isn't what it's about.
Yes. Well, you're even communicating such a powerful truth. When we live that way, we're a victim to other people's opinions.
Yeah.
We're a victim to the approval of others.
So true.
What do they think about me?
Mm-hmm.
And God does not want us to live that life.
Yeah.
And so when you take your perspective and you shift it back onto who God is and who he's called you to be and who he calls you, it changes everything. Then you don't live as a victim to their opinion or their approval, you know, or your circumstances.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah. You let like what he's already done be what is who you are. Like
you
allow what he's done to dictate your life versus allowing what others are doing or what other circumstances are happening to dictate your life. And it's hard to do, but.
It is.
When it's happening, you're like, your life is full and joy is overflowing. And it's just like, I mean, nothing can stop you, you know? It's amazing.
Yeah. I kind of just want to wrap up our time by reiterating this quote from Jesus. And he says he came to set the captives free. And I think that happens at salvation. But really, he sets us free from so many different prisons that we often make ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, Christine, I just want to thank you for your heart. And
thank you.
How honest and real you are. And thank you for sharing today.